Great to see everybody tonight. I'm so thankful for another wonderful day here in Denver and for the opportunity that we've had to praise our God today. Hope that you've had an encouraging day and a profitable day. And especially if you're visiting with us, we're so glad that you're here and pray that you will have a safe journey back to your destination. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with us tonight as we study from the Word of God. Our first passage will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, in a lesson on marriage, that we hope that we could spend a little bit of time talking about different various groups that make up our local body here of Christians, and whether that be single or older or whatever the case may be, that we might touch on some of those things in upcoming weeks. And so tonight, I want for us to turn our attention to talk about older servants in the kingdom. If you were here this morning, I guess that we could title that Elder Deacons. If you were here and you recognize some of the terms that we used in our study this morning, that is maybe a way that we could title that lesson. But we really want to talk about older servants of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, we read this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We recognize that the body that we have been blessed with is just a box. And we put so much importance in the box. It's like a kid that you give them a present and the most important part of that present is that which is inside. And yet they receive that present and what do? They put that to the side and they play with the box and they're enamored with the box. And many times that's how we are as we think about our external physical bodies without placing the importance that God has told us to place on our soul. This body is deteriorating. And the nature of the life that we live is one in which we get weaker rather than stronger, that our minds become more feeble rather than more acute. But that being said, this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17 say there's something different for us in regard to our soul, in regard to our spirit. The internal part of man is being renewed day by day. Age is no excuse for spiritual digression. Because if that passage is true, that ought not to take place. As we grow older, that ought not to mean that our spirits become more feeble, that spiritually we become weaker. That doesn't have to be the case. In fact, as older Christians, there really should be an increased recognition of the nature of this life and the need for prayer and the need for Bible study and the need for someone to reach out to the souls of men and women. And so we recognize that in terms of growing older. What can, as we grow older, what can we do to be better servants in the kingdom of God? Please turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Number one, I'd like to suggest to you that we do not need to get too stuck in the past. And many times I think we may be guilty of that. As we grow older, perhaps in one way or another, we find ourselves looking backward rather than looking forward. As we turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14, listen, Paul was no spring chicken when he wrote this. He was not a young man. This is not an individual that's in his 20s when he writes Philippians chapter 3. In fact, he wrote Philippians near the same time that he wrote the book of Philemon. And if you turn to the book of Philemon and you look down about verse 9, Paul calls himself Paul the Aged. So that's the individual around 62 AD that is writing the book of Philippians. And he says this in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We don't know how old Paul was when he wrote that, but we know that in Philemon, when he wrote that book, he said Paul the Aged. So here's a man that has reached some degree of experience, some degree of age, and he says, I am pressing on. I'm pressing forward. And that's an encouragement to us as we grow older to do the same. That I should never allow the devil to tell me that I just stop growing and stop progressing. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to stop growing. He wants us to stop progressing as we get older, to think in some way that we can't contribute or that we just don't have anything to offer anymore. It is not time to retire spiritually and go into isolation because people need you too much for that. People need you. Young people need you. Others, everybody needs your influence. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, there is a special blessing to see all the stages of life. We may think that we don't want to grow old, but we ought to be thankful that we can. Because there's so much to see and so much to experience and so much to be thankful for, as Darren talked about in his class today. But just to be grateful that we can end that which we have begun. And that we're blessed to have that opportunity. Every birthday, you see, is a blessing. And every year that we grow older is a blessing from God to be appreciated and to be acknowledged from us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, a man or woman should recognize the blessing of getting to 60, 70, 80, 90. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8 says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. We ought to appreciate that fact, that as we begin to accumulate those years, that that's a blessing that God has given us, that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Look at what we've been blessed with and the opportunities that we have to run the race in its entirety and to have that gift. Robert Browning wrote a little short poem, and he said, grow old with me. The best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hand who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. I tell you what, I learned more from my grandfather in his 90s than I probably did in any other time. As I saw the way in which that he did grow old and the lessons that he taught. And I assure you, older folks, that the lessons that you are giving now are just as powerful as any that you gave when you were younger. I learned so much from him. Even the very end of his life and his approach to those days. But we have the tendency to look back. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10 and think that those former things are just so much better. And the days of old are so much better. And here Solomon says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Our vision is limited sometimes. We don't recognize the influence that we can have. We don't recognize what is going on in a global way. We don't see all of that. But yet we have the tendency to look back and look back to those good old days and think we want to go back to those good old days. And surely there were some good times. But we need to be doing what Philippians 3 talks about, pressing forward and looking ahead and not thinking that we've apprehended. And so we learn those lessons, not to get too stuck in the past. As well as that, as we age, we need to not become cynical and critical. You know, the positive directives that the Lord gives us are not limited chronologically. The things that He tells us are not just for young folks or middle-aged folks, but they're for everybody. And so when we read from Paul, "This is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it," that is not chronologically limited. Or when we read 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you." Does that not apply when we reach an older age? Certainly it does. Or when we read there in Philippians 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Those things are not to be cast to the side because we become more age experienced. And perhaps older folks have an inclination to see younger folks making mistakes and can become negative and critical and oftentimes forget the process of growth that they went through to get to that point and the encouragement that they needed to get there. But as we grow older, we ought not to forget the process of our growth. So easy as we get older to become more critical, to see all the problems, to see the cracks instead of all the good things. And I hear that from time to time of complaining and complaining and complaining rather than the giving of thanks that ought to be taking place, rather than recognizing the good and patting somebody on the back. Yet there is oftentimes a kind of a negative approach, and that ought not to be. With that in mind, one of the ways that older people serve is as grandparents. 1 in 9 grandparents over the age of 50 are caregivers for at least one grandchild. And there are more than 5 million that live full time with their grandparents, and 1/3 of those is without a parent present. There is such a need for a strong influence from older people. And you may not be a grandparent, but you can certainly serve as a surrogate one. I remember having those in my life as I came along, that people would act as a grandparent to me. We were in places far away from my family, and people would step up and would fill that role. That kind of influence is so important. It certainly was a big deal for Timothy with Lois and Eunice. But rather than cynicism and criticism, how about involvement and influence? You know, grandparents and older people can do some things that young people, young parents and others cannot do. And they can say some things that parents often cannot say. Whenever Sarah or Molly are wearing their, I call them holy jeans, their H-O-L-E-Y, you know the ones that I'm talking about, that look like that they cost $100, but yet they look like they should cost about $5 and come from a thrift store. Whenever they're wearing those holy jeans, all I have to do is get my dad to come in, and he can say the things that need to be said about that kind of purchase and that kind of mentality. It's interesting how that works and how things change. You know, I remember my parents, you know, my mom was no piece of cake to walk over, but now she just lays down and lets the grandkids just walk all over. My dad couldn't even fit his hand into his pocket when we were coming up, but now he's able to get it in and actually pull something out of it, which it's amazing how that changes. But the fact of the matter is that grandparents and older folks can do some things that parents often don't do or are unwilling to do or say some things that really young people need to hear. And so we need to be working in that direction. My grandfather was always very good, and my brothers that are here tonight would acknowledge this, of sending letters to us about certain areas of our life that he felt like we needed to think about. And so from about once a month, he would send us some sort of letter, once every 2 months maybe, about integrity and honesty and not biting your fingernails, discipline, things like that, all kinds of practical things that he would send to us that he could say to us that oftentimes we wouldn't pay attention to mom and dad. And I heard about an older grandfather that made a notebook for his grandchildren, put a picture of he and his grandchild in it, along with a lot of different topics like love and family and responsibility, and articles and stories and Bible verses that they could share together. What a great thing for a grandparent to do, or an older person to do. You don't have to do that, but you can make your influence felt as an older person in the life of some younger person. And to look for those opportunities among the body of Christ, because I'll tell you, that's needed. We see a general lack of discipline in our world, and it helps as parents to have others that will emphasize that and others that will look out for that. And listen, parents, don't get frustrated when somebody is looking out for your child and they say, don't you run in here, or don't you act like that, or don't you go in there and take something that's not yours. We need that. We need that kind of discipline. And so we ought to work together in that kind of thing rather than be opposed in that kind of thing. Older brethren should place the same value on their service and their roles as God does. Look at a few passages in the scripture and the lesson will be yours. Let's look at Proverbs 20 and verse 29. Proverbs 20 and verse 29. God's word certainly emphasizes the value of age. We ought to value it more because God certainly does. Unfortunately, in our society, and I've lived in some that value much more experience and age and honor it the way that they should. The Bible certainly teaches us to honor those that are older. But oftentimes we fail to do that in the way that we ought to. But Proverbs 20 and verse 29, Proverbs 20, and verse 29 would speak to that. As he says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. If we would put value in that, put value in experience, put value in the things that can come from that source, from that well of experience, we need to recognize that. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Listen, age doesn't mean anything. Age means absolutely nothing if it is not accompanied with holiness and righteousness. Proverbs 16, and here is this conditional statement that would speak to that. Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. Notice this, if. That does us no good if we haven't lived a life that is exemplary and holy and right and good. What does that amount to? But he says here, if it is found in the way of righteousness. That's what ought to be present for younger people to see. Experience is a valuable commodity. We ought to recognize that. In Job 12, verses 12 through 13, it says, wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days understanding. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. In Leviticus 19, 32 says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God I am the Lord. It seems interesting that he puts those two things right connected. You fear the Lord and you rise up before older people. You respect them. If they have lived a righteous life, if their life is commensurate with what God's will has said, then you honor that. Listen, David recognized when he got older that there was still a lot for him to do. And he needed to fulfill that role. Look over at Psalms 71 and verse 18. David considered himself to have a job to do, that he needed to attend to that and to fulfill that, and that he didn't want to pass away until he had done it. That he recognized even as he becomes more aged, that he had things to do and responsibilities to keep. In Psalm 71 and verse 18, he says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Can you see what David's concern is? That when he became old and gray-headed, that he still had some speaking to do. He still had some leadership to show forth and to say, listen, you folks that are coming along, God is great and God is good and he is powerful and you serve him with all of your heart and all of your mind. And I can attest to you as an old gray-headed man that the times that I have failed God, the times that I have not done right, the worst times of my life. That's what David wanted to say, and to proclaim the goodness of God and his power to those who would be coming along. Experience is a valuable commodity. Aged David recognized that he had work to do, and then so do you. We'll close with this passage. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5 in the New Testament. You still have work to do in the kingdom of God. Don't ever think that you're on furlough or that you're in retirement, because that is not the case. And we ought not to perceive that to be the case. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." You still have work to do, and there's a lot of people that need your influence. We're so thankful for our older members, and we need you so badly. We need your influence. And what a great example you are as you come and consistently worship the God that you have given your heart to. Thank you for that. May God help us to do the same as we grow older, to serve the Lord with all of our heart. You're an important example to the church of your Lord, the exemplification of the truth that the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Perhaps there's someone here tonight that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We always want to offer an invitation every time that we're together. If there is a need that you have that we can help you with in any way, we stand ready to do that. Love to help you in any way that we can. Won't you come while we stand?